Welcome to the Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. This simple, scripturally sound preaching and teaching of the Word of God will direct you to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Follow the Shepherd's Voice into the green pastures that God has purposed for you. There, you'll find rest for your soul and the fulfilled Christian experience you crave. God bless you as you listen.
Hallelujah. And so last week, I started sharing a message with you. The title of it is Sweet or Sour, Victor or Victim. And I'm just going to continue where I left off. Will you please turn your Bibles with me to Ruth chapter 1. Ruth chapter 1, and we're reading from verse number 6 and wept. No, they said, we want to go with you to your people. But Naomi replied, why should you go on with me? Can I still give birth to other sons who could grow up to be your husbands? No, my daughters, return to your parents' homes, for I am too old to marry again. And even if it were possible, and I were to get married tonight and bear sons, then what? Would you wait for them to grow up and refuse to marry someone else? No, of course not, my daughters. Things are far more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord himself has raised his fist against me. You see, when you talk, I can hear you because my ears are very sharp. All right? Verse 19 to 21. So the two of them continued on their journey. When they came to Bethlehem, the entire town was excited by their arrival. Is it really Naomi? The women asked. And this was her response. Don't call me Naomi. Instead, call me Mara. For the Almighty has made life very bitter for me. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me home empty. Why call me Naomi when the Lord has caused me to suffer and the Almighty has sent such tragedy upon me? Hallelujah. Now, this is the story of a woman who had been through great trouble and had faced calamity and had had bad experiences. In the first place, she lost her husband. And then 10 years after, she lost her two sons. And it is obvious from this passage that we read that she had been greatly affected by her loss and by the calamity that she had been through. And so bad was it for her that she insisted that her name be changed. Her original name, Naomi, means delight or my delight. It also means pleasant, gentle, or sweet. That was her name before. But now, because of what she had been through, she decided that nobody should call me Naomi again. Instead, call me Mara. And Mara means bitterness. It means sour. And why would she make such a request? Because she had been through a bad experience and had been through terrible trouble and calamity. I explained to you last Sunday that in life you will have all kinds of experiences. There'll be enjoyable ones. There'll be experiences that are not so nice. The problem is with the second category of experiences. When you go through pain, loss, disappointment, frustration, bereavement, unmet expectations, they can really, really affect you. And that's what happened to Naomi. She was so greatly affected by what she went through that she ended up becoming bitter and becoming sour. Now, when you go through these painful experiences in life, there are two responses that can come out. One of them is that you become sour. And when you are sour, it means that you become bitter, you become angry, you can become depressed, you become unpleasant, you are not an attractive person to be with, you always look angry, you always look bored, you become short-tempered, you cry a lot, you have a very dim view of life, and you can become handicapped because of what you have been through. And that's what happened to Naomi. And there are other examples in the Bible of people who became bitter because of what they went through. I spoke to you about Cain, the brother of Abel. Because he felt he had been rejected, he became sour. And he didn't control it. The result of it was that he murdered his own brother. This was the first murder that ever took place. Then I told you also about Esau, the brother of Jacob, who lost his birthright. He became sour and he also planned to kill his brother. Fortunately, Esau was able to recover. And sometimes people are able to deal with their pain and their loss and are able to move on with life. But the problem is when you are not able to deal with it. It ends up corrupting you, corrupting your heart, and it turns you into something different from what people knew you to be. Another example of somebody who became bitter that I can talk to you about, somebody who became sour, is Job. So the whole of the book of Job tells the story of this great guy, correct guy, perfect. God went to throw a challenge to the devil and said to him, "You've been moving to and fro the earth, haven't you? Did you come across this my servant Job? Good guy, correct guy. He's not like you." And Job said that the devil said to God that, "Oh, these people, I know them. The reason why he's so committed to you is because of the things that you do for him. Take his blessings away. Cause him to experience trouble and calamity. And they will curse you. And they will reject you." Now, I don't know if God were to throw such a challenge concerning us. What would be the outcome? Do you understand the question I'm asking you? That if what happened to Job were to happen to us, what would be the outcome? If the blessings, the good things, the good health, the job, the money, the business, if God were to allow the devil to touch such an area of your life, what will be your response? So God told Satan to go ahead with what he had set out to do. And within a short period of time, Job lost everything. He lost all his wealth. He had a lot of sheep. He had a lot of cattle. He had a lot of camels. He had a lot of donkeys. He lost them all. And he lost his 10 children. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. In one day, he lost all of them. They had gone for a party. And then something bad happened. They all died. When the news of all these losses were delivered to Job, his response was, "The Lord has given. The Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." That was his response. Nyame na edema. Ono aso na ejie. No odema me no waje. Enshira enka ni din kron kron no. That was his response. And the Bible says that in all of it, and in all of the experiences that he went through, he never cursed God. He never said anything bad. So the devil showed up again. And you can read about it in Job chapter 1. He showed up again. And God was actually gloating. Said that, hey, you said that this guy will curse me. Have you seen that he didn't curse me? And he's still serving me. And the devil said to God, that's skin for skin. So what the devil was saying here was that if you touch anything that makes the person comfortable, there'll be a reaction. And he said that, allow me now to touch his body. He must feel the thing. I want to read him. He must feel it in his body. All the other things that I touch were outside his body. God said, okay, go ahead and touch him. Only don't kill him. And so, he afflicted him with some terrible boils. Big stinking boils. Itchy ones. Have you had measles before? You haven't? Hey, then you're in danger. Measles is very small compared to what Job went through. And he needed to break a pot and use a piece of it to scar. You can imagine the blood, the pus. And he sat out there almost naked. Because when you are itching like that, you can't even wear clothes. Pardon? It's like chicken pox. Yeah. And chicken pox compared to what Job went through is comedies. Do you know comedies? As he idea grow this arm. His wife came to him and said, "Papa, your issues are a lot. And I'm tired of you. Curse God and die. And let's just end it so that I can be free and go and marry somebody else. Because your problems are too many." Have you met somebody before in life who seems to go through one trouble after the other? Then another one comes, then another one comes, then another one comes like that. And whenever you encounter somebody like that, even though you don't tell the person, you say in your head that a die di wechino son papa papa nya de ketwa. It's like, so you are poor, what have you done in this life that you are suffering like that? His wife said to him, "Curse God and let him kill you and let's end it all." And he insulted her. He said, "You are speaking like one of these foolish women." Then another thing that he said to her was that, "Must we only accept good from the Lord?" "Must we only accept good from the Lord? If he decides that he's going to allow us to go through pain and loss, we must just go through with it and trust that he knows why he's allowed this to happen." And in that situation also, he did not curse God. But you see, if you read on, you realize that even though he didn't curse God, he became sour. Because he wrote some things that God confronted him about later on. And you see, the reason why God didn't reject him was because God knew that even with all those things that he was saying, his heart was right towards God. And I'm glad to say that God restored him and he received double for his troubles. Whatever you have lost in this life, may God look graciously upon you and restore that thing in a double measure. In the mighty name of Jesus. Every honor that you have lost, may God restore. Every position that you have lost, may God restore. Everything of value that the enemy has taken away from you, may God reinstate that thing back into your life. Any money that you have lost, may you find it again. And may God visit you in your time of pain and loss and show his glory and his honor in your life. Can I hear somebody shout aloud, amen? Hallelujah. Another person who became bitter was King Saul. You read about him and his story, 1 Samuel chapter 18. Now, he was the first king of Israel. But along the line, he messed up. And God decided that he was no longer going to be king and he was going to replace him. So then a little 17-year boy was chosen. And it became clear as matters unfolded that this was Saul's replacement. And Saul, he became very bitter and angry about the situation. And an evil spirit started oppressing and tormenting him. And that's also the problem with when you become bitter and sour. You just open the door for the enemy to torment you. That is why it is in our own interest to deal rapidly with every disappointment, every frustration, every loss, and every pain of our lives. I always say that we must have a swift recovery rate to quickly stabilize ourselves when we go through a disappointment. Because if we keep brooding over them, over our pain, our loss, our frustrations and all of that, our hearts will be corrupted and will then open the door for the enemy to get access and he would oppress us even further. Now Saul didn't do that. So now evil spirits were oppressing him. And at the point he wanted to kill David. And he chased that little boy for many years, 13 plus years, through the look, it was so wild that the boy had to leave the comfort of his home and go and dwell in caves in the middle of nowhere. And it was because somebody could not stand his disappointment and his rejection. And he turned into an evil person. He became sour as he went through life. Sad to say, he didn't recover from it. And at the time he died, his end wasn't a good one. Because now he was going to the house of witches and trying to do all sorts of things. At the end of the day, he committed suicide. He killed himself. And I'm saying to all of us, deal with your pain. Deal with it. I don't stand here to pretend that it is easy. It is not. Because if you haven't been through it, perhaps you can talk in a certain way. But I know what I'm talking about. I've been through my pains. I've been through my personal losses, rejection, betrayal, all sorts of things. But like Pastor Elvis said, I'm standing here only because he made a way. And I think that one of the things that God helped me with was the ability to quickly stabilize myself and decide that I'm not going to turn into a bitter, angry, vindictive person trying to settle scores I said that I wasn't going to turn into that kind of person. And I can say that God has been gracious to me. Hallelujah. So these are examples of people who became sour and how some of them ended. But you see, the best thing and the best response that you must aim for and you must try for is to stay sweet in spite of everything that you've been through. Once again, I admit that it's very difficult. But you see, it is better to stay sweet. You see, sweet means pleasant, pleasing, nice, attractive, agreeable, gracious, enjoyable. That means that even though you've been through calamity, you've been through troubles, you've been through pain, you do not allow them to change you and to turn you into something else. You still stay a nice person. You still smile. You're able to sing songs like, "I've been tested. My faith has been tried. Satan has attempted to destroy my life. He's robbed, abused, accused, and stole. He's done everything he could do to conquer my soul. But I still have joy." And you smile as you sing it. "I still have joy. After all I've been through, I still have joy. I still have joy. I still have joy. After all I've been through, I still have joy." You stay sweet. You don't deny what you've been through, but you decide that it will not change you, turn you into a bitter, angry, resentful, pessimistic person as you go through life. You still have hope. You still have joy. You are still able to smile. Yeah. And there are people like that. Even though they've been through so much, they still keep a sweet spirit. I'll give you an example of somebody like that. Probably one of the good examples of people who stayed sweet was Joseph. Joseph. Not Joseph, the adoptive father of Jesus, but Joseph in the Old Testament. Jacob had 12 sons. The 11th son was called Joseph. And he was the first son he had with his beloved Rachel. Because Jacob had two wives. The first one he didn't really, okay, he loved, but a honey hole, you know. But then the second one, Rahel, was the one he really wanted. But Rahel's father, Laban, tried to trick him. But she was really the one he loved. And she couldn't have children, but along the line, God opened her womb. And the first son, the first child that she had, was named Joseph. Then she had another son, but she died in childbirth. And that last son was Benjamin. Now, Jacob really loved Joseph. And he didn't hide it. He made it very obvious to everybody that you are all my sons. But this one, I prefer him to all of you. And you see, parents, we got to be really careful. You have to be very, very careful about this favoritism thing. Look, the truth is that when you have a child who does what you want, who obeys you, who believes in what you say, who submits to you, consciously or unconsciously, that child becomes special to you, becomes a favorite. Now, that is really not the problem. The problem is when you display it so openly and in such an obvious way that everybody can see that this one you like and these other ones you do not like. And you can create problems for your children when you openly demonstrate your affection and favoritism for them. Anyway, so to make it very clear, he went to sew a beautiful coat, a coat of many colors. It was a special one, long sleeves, and put it on the boy. And I'm sure that the boy was wah-wahing his home with it. So sometimes you go and walk in front of his brothers and then do this. And do this. The thing will be swinging. And the brothers were bored. But he was a young boy. He didn't have a certain tact and wisdom in how to conduct himself. The other thing that we see with Joseph was that he was a dreamer. He was always having dreams. One day he had a dream. And in that dream he was out in the harvest field with his brothers. They were harvesting wheat and were tying the stalks and everything, tying them into bundles. And what happened was that his bundles stood up tall, and then the bundles of wheat of his brothers fell before his, as though they were worshipping and adoring him. And after the dream, he went to tell them. It's not every dream that you talk about. Learn wisdom from this. It's not everything that you dream about that you talk about. You must be very wise and responsible with the dreams that God gives you. If, for example, you have a dream of something bad that's going to happen to somebody, you don't pick up the phone and call the person, "Mewe, Mewe, Mewe, I had a dream of you. I saw you. You were dead in a coffin and we were all crying. We have to fast. We have to pray." And you see, if God gives you such a dream, and it may be from God, but it may also not be from him. That's why you always have to be careful how you interpret the dreams that you have. If it is from God, always understand, and I'm sure you've heard this statement before, that God reveals to redeem. Now, you are the one he gave the dream to, so the responsibility is on you to do something about it, to pray for the person, and to stand in the gap for the person. Unless God gives you express instructions that tell this person that that is what I am saying. Otherwise, it's your responsibility to pray about that bad thing that you saw. So that's something you should understand about dreams. One of these days, I'll talk to you about dreams and prophecies and all of that. So he went to tell his brothers, and they bore more. And as if that dream was not enough, he had another one. And this time, he saw the sun and the moon and the 11 stars bowing before him. He went to tell his father and his brothers. His father's response is, hey, Jairophon. Because the father could understand the dream. And he said to him that, what sort of dream is this? You are becoming too proud. You mean to say that me, your father, and your mother, and your 11 brothers will just be bowing down before you? I forbid you to have such dreams again. And his brothers, as usual, were livid. They bore pass. So that this guy, he thinks that he is very special. And they hated him the more. But their father was a very spiritual person. So that dream, he kept it in mind, pondered over it, because he could sense that God was saying something. So this was the scenery that, you know, occurred in the life of Joseph. But the story continues. One day, his father sent him to take provisions to his brothers who were taking care of the father's sheep and other animals in the backside of the desert. Verse 18 of Genesis 37. When Joseph's brothers saw him coming, they recognized him in the distance. As he approached, they made plans to kill him. These were blood brothers. They made plans to kill him. So again, you see a pattern evolving. When you become sour, when you become bitter, when you don't recover from certain things, you will become something that you never imagined. And you won't even realize that there's a problem. They saw their own brother coming and they started planning to kill him. And that's what sour people can end up doing. Here comes the dreamer, they said. Come on, let's kill him and throw him into one of these cisterns. We can tell our father a wild animal has eaten him. Then we'll see what becomes of his dreams. But when Reuben heard of their scheme, he came to Joseph's rescue. Let's not kill him, he said. Why should we shed any blood? Let's just throw him into this empty cistern here in the wilderness. Then he will die without our laying a hand on him. But Reuben was secretly planning to rescue Joseph and return him to his father. So when Joseph arrived, his brothers ripped off the beautiful robe he was wearing. And he too, he shouldn't have gone there with the robe, lah. Shouldn't have gone with the robe. Then they grabbed him and threw him into the cistern. Now the cistern was empty. There was no water in it. Then just as they were sitting down to eat, they looked up and saw a caravan of camels in the distance coming toward them. It was a group of Ishmaelite traders taking a load of gum, balm, and aromatic resin from Gilead down to Egypt. Judah said to his brothers, "What will we gain by killing our brother? We'll have to cover up the crime. Instead of hurting him, let's sell him to those Ishmaelite traders. After all, he's our own brother, our own flesh and blood." And his brothers agreed. So when the Ishmaelites, who were Midianite traders, came by, Joseph's brothers pulled him out of the cistern and sold him to them for 20 pieces of silver. And the traders took him to Egypt. So initially they were going to kill him in cold blood. Then they decided that we won't do that. And what they decided to do was also very wild. It was going to be a very painful and slow death, because they left him in the middle of a deep well. And it is in the middle of nowhere. He will scream and scream and scream. Nobody will hear. He would have died slowly and painfully. And all die be die. Isn't it? Yeah. Then after a while, they decided, okay, we won't shed blood. At least we should gain something from this whole thing. Let's sell him. So like the way you sell a chicken, sell a goat and everything, they sold their brother. And they carried him to a strange land. You can imagine his plea, his cries. Don't do this. Don't do this to me. I am your brother. You can't do this to me. They ignored it. And they sold him. And these traders also went to sell him. Maybe you should watch the videos of these slave markets and how people were sold. Very dehumanizing. They will come and people will bait for you. I'll give 5 pieces of silver. I'll give 6 pieces. I'll give 10 pieces. And they'll check you out, examine. They'll ask you, open your mouth. They'll look inside your ears. Sometimes they'll let you stoop and be checking other things from behind and under, just to see whether you are a fine specimen of a human being. Very shameful. So he was bought by Potiphar, who was an official of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. But not long after he had been bought, Potiphar decided to elevate him and make him master over all his servants. Why? Because he stayed sweet. He didn't become a depressed, bitter, long-faced, bored person. Otherwise, Potiphar would never have elevated him. He still stayed faithful. He still went about his work with a smile on his face. He was a prisoner. I mean, not a prisoner. He was a slave. He was a prince before, but he was now a slave, being sent all over the... But he conducted himself well. And it was obvious that the painful experience that he had been through hadn't changed him. Then just when he thought that peace had come, his master's wife set her eyes on him. Julius, careful. Now, I don't know what the problem was, but she needed a man. And she saw this fine Hebrew slave. Broad shoulders, wonderful biceps, amazing triceps, broad chest, hairy one, and what have you. How many parts? 7 parts. Then it's like mine. I think his was 6. All right. And she saw, she liked, and she wanted to conquer. Gave him scholarship. The boy said, no way. One day everybody was gone and she pounced on the boy. It was attempted rape. You see, when you hear stories, don't be in a hurry to draw conclusions. You are used to men raping women. But I'm announcing to you that the reverse can also happen. So when you hear stories, don't be in a hurry to draw conclusions. She tried. She enticed him. She pounced on him. And Joseph had to flee for dear life. Then she came up with a story that he had tried to rape her. And the evidence was that she had a piece of his cloth in his hands. When her husband came, she started the drama. You don't love me. You don't love me. You've left me at the mercy of this foolish boy. Can you imagine that the boy tried to... The guy had no option but to send them, to send Joseph to jail. But he was innocent. But he didn't become bitter. He didn't become sour, angry. He didn't curse God. He still stayed sweet, which explains why even in prison, he was elevated. He became the chief prisoner. And you know how the story unfolded. At the end of the day, Pharaoh had a dream, needed an interpreter. Joseph was called. And within overnight, actually, the prisoner had become the prime minister of Egypt. He became a victor. That's who he became. But you see, there's a part of the story that Genesis 45 verse 4 to 8. Please come closer, he said to them. So now Joseph was revealing himself to his brothers. So they came closer and he said again, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into slavery in Egypt. Then he says to them, but don't be upset. And don't be angry with yourselves for selling me to this place. It was God. It was God who sent me here ahead of you to preserve your lives. This famine that has ravaged the land for 2 years will last 5 more years, and there'll be neither plowing nor harvesting. God has sent me ahead of you to keep you and your families alive and to preserve many survivors. Then he said to them, so it was God who sent me here, not you. And he's the one who made me an advisor to Pharaoh, the manager of his entire palace, and the governor of all Egypt. So you can see that this is somebody who did not allow the envy, the rejection, the betrayal, the wickedness, the false accusation, the injustice, the loss, the ingratitude. He did not allow any of these things to corrupt him and to mess him up. He still stayed sweet and pleasant and serviceable and somebody that you can relate with. And at the end of the day, God elevated him and he became a great person. Second in command in all of Egypt. He had bad experiences, but he still stayed sweet. I can give you other examples. David, I mentioned him earlier. Even though Saul did everything that he could to destroy him, he still stayed sweet. One day he had an opportunity to kill Saul. He said, I'm not going to touch the Lord's anointed. He stayed sweet. And even after Saul died and Jonathan died, he looked for an opportunity to do good to their descendants. This was a sweet guy. Somebody who stayed sweet. Look, he was driven out of his house, and for 13 or more years, he was living like a fugitive in the backside of the desert. He stayed sweet. Then, of course, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All his disciples abandoned him, including the one who said, I'm prepared to die with you. Peter denied him 3 times. And when Christ resurrected, he just showed up, ate with them. As for Peter, he just asked him, Piero, do you love me? He said, I love you. Feed my sheep, feed my lambs. That was the end of the story. You don't read anywhere that when he got back and had that meeting with them, he said, you, I told you that you are going to be my main people. I've sacked all of you. You are not going to be my anything. And as for you, Peter, I said that on this rock, I'll build my church. Tafiapa, don't build any church on you. You're a bad person. There was nothing like that. He still loved them, stayed sweet to them, ate with them. Will you eat with somebody who has done something bad against you? He just flowed with them and loved them. And I'm explaining to you that when you go through your bad experiences, and in this life you will have them. That's the reality of life. Have you noticed that when children are being named, they apply Fanta and then Akpeteshi? Why do they do that? Auntie Lizzie, why do they do that? They want the child to understand the realities of the life that child has come into. That there are some experiences that are going to be sweet, and there are some experiences that are going to be bitter. That's the reality of the life. This life that we are living in. Courtesy Adam and Eve and their high treason in the Garden of Eden. So that's what we are faced with. Once you are born into this world, you'll have your fair share of things. My prayer for you is that the balance of things will be in favor of good experiences than bad experiences, in the name of Jesus. But if and when you go through the bad experiences. Stay sweet. Do not become sour. And how you respond to these experiences will greatly affect your position in life. You will end up becoming either a victor or you will end up becoming a victim. Because a victor is someone who has overcome adversity and other challenges and is moving on. But a victim is somebody who has suffered harm, injury, hurt, or loss because of somebody else or because of adversity, but has not been able to recover. And if you don't take care and deal with your pain and your losses, you will move through life as a victim. And you'll be handicapped for the rest of your life. You turn into something else. You become somebody else. And things will not work out for you the way you are hoping. So if you have a painful experience in life, stay sweet. Pray about it. Use the scriptures to encourage you and to strengthen you and to comfort you. But whatever happens, don't allow the bad experiences to twist and distort your life and make you some very bitter, angry, resentful person. It's difficult to relate with you. Any small thing that we say to you, you become angry. You become very depressed every time you are crying. You've cried, sir. Your face has begun to look like the Book of Lamentations. It's enough. It is enough. May the Spirit of God give you the ability to stay sweet, because that will set you off on the road to becoming a victor. Every pain, every rejection, every loss, every disappointment, every frustration that you've been through in this life, may the Spirit of God heal your heart. May He strengthen you. May He give you the ability to move on. May He give you the peace of mind and the calmness to say to yourself, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them who are the called according to His purpose. May He help you to say to yourself, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That means that I can come out of this disappointment. I can come out of this frustration. I can overcome it, and I can press on as a victor through this life. May God help you to deal with your pain and your loss. And in all of it, may you stay sweet in this life. In Jesus' mighty name, and let the people of God say, amen. Put your hands together for Jesus. Rise to your feet. And let's end today's service. Every head bowed and every eye closed, please. I want to give you an opportunity to surrender your life to Jesus. You want to say, Pastor, please pray with me. I want to give Jesus my heart. I want to make Him Lord of my life. I'm tired of trying to live this life by my own terms, but I need Jesus now to take control. I'm going to pray with you. And even for anybody who is watching online, Jesus can touch your life and reach out to you right where you are. And I want to pray this prayer with you. If you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, please pray this prayer with me. In fact, let everybody join in this prayer. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, this morning, I come to you just as I am. Please forgive me for all my sins and wash me with your precious blood. From today, I am yours and you are mine. I will serve you. I will follow you. I will live for you for the rest of my life. Thank you, Father, for hearing my prayer. In Jesus' mighty name. And let everybody say, amen. Would you like to put your hands together for Jesus and bless His name?
Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. We do hope that you were greatly blessed. For further inquiries, please call, WhatsApp, or send an SMS text to +233 243 886 622. God bless you.